Good morning, church family. So, you know, whether you stepped in here and showed up with joy in your step, or even if you have worry on your mind, it doesn't matter. Maybe you have exhaustion in your bones or just simply wondering how you made it out of the door this morning. Let me tell you, church, you are in the right place. In fact, you're exactly where God wants you today, because this is the kind of place where folks show up with real lives, real messes, real victories, and real questions that God doesn't flinch any of it. He just says, come on, I can work with that. And so we're grateful that you joined us here today, because today we're talking about something that every single one of us battles. White noise. Not the kind that hums from a box fan, all you fan lovers out there at night, me included, or the static you hear when your TV's stuck between channels, but I'm talking about that mental clutter, the constant buzz of worries and to-dos and regrets and the opinions and the notifications and the half-finished thoughts that follow us around like a swarm of gnats at a summer picnic. It's the kind of noise that drowns out that small, still voice of God long before we realize that we've even stopped listening. So it's that noise that tells you you're behind. That noise tells you that you're not enough. That noise that tells you that you should be doing 10 other things while you're sitting here this morning. And the truth is, most of us have gotten used to that noise. We don't even notice it anymore. We just live with it. It's part of the job description of being human. But today we're going to talk about how God cuts through all of that. How he speaks in ways that don't shout, but are steady. Ways that don't overwhelm us, but they anchor us. Ways that remind us that the peace of God is in the absence of noise. The presence of God is right there in the middle of the noise sometimes. So to the faithful regulars today, the ones who show up week after week, rain or shine, even when the message steps on your toes sometimes, I say thank you, because you are the backbone of what happens around here. And the fact that you just keep showing up tells me that you're either incredibly dedicated or you finally accepted that God does his best work with repeat customers. Amen. Because every journey, every good journey, every honest journey, every boots on the ground type of journey starts by talking to the one, Jesus, who actually knows our destination, and he has the whole thing mapped out for you and for me. And so, before we begin in the Word this morning, worshiping in the Word, let's take a moment to thank God for the breath in our lungs this morning. It's simple, it's ordinary, but it is a gift that we didn't manufacture, we didn't earn it, or guarantee. It's grace disguised as oxygen. So shout it out with me loud and proud, Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Feels good to get that out. I like congregations that are participative. I know the Methodist Church loves that. They do theirs through liturgy, readings, and the pastor reads and the congregation reads it back. But it's good when a congregation interacts, lets me know you're still awake. And that's a hallelujah. But you know, I think you can agree with me that noise isn't just decibels anymore. It's the scroll. It's the peeing. It's the breaking news banner. It's that group text that won't stop. It's the comparison engine running silently in the back of your mind while you watch someone else's highlight reel. You know, we've built a world that's allergic to silence. And I think we've all caught the bug. And the spiritual cost of constant noise is this. You stop hearing the things that matter most. And you don't even notice the loss. which is the most dangerous loss there is. I mean, you can't tune a guitar in a room where everybody's playing. Sometimes life gives us illustrations that no preacher could invent. Here's one that reminds us just how much noise we're living with every day. Researchers tell us that the average person gets hit with interruptions all day long. Phones buzzing, alerts chiming, emails stacking up, texts popping in, and ads flashing before us, and that steady drip of digital noise that never, ever lets up. And if you talk to folks who study the mind for a living, they'll tell you that distraction has become one of the biggest threats to emotional well-being in the modern life. It's not because people are weak, but because the world has gotten loud, really loud. Now, picture trying to hear a whisper while standing next to a jet engine. That's what a whole lot of believers are attempting spiritually. God's voice hasn't gotten quieter. He hasn't stopped speaking. We've just surrounded ourselves with louder things. That the whisper doesn't stand a chance unless we intentionally make room for it in our life. God's Word has something better, even more than information. It offers transformation. You see, we're living in a world that's just drowning in information. Facts, opinions, hot takes, breaking news, it's all coming at us faster than we really can process. That little phone you hold in your hand holds more information in it than the history of time up into the 12th century, 13th century, 14th even. And most all that information, it doesn't really change a thing. It just piles up like tools you bought but never learned how to use them yet. But God's Word, that's different. God's Word is different. This thing doesn't just inform you. It reforms you. It doesn't just tell you something new. It makes you something new. Don't believe me? Try it. You open your book up to the book of Psalms. Start reading there. And it'll cut through the noise. And it gets right to the part of you that actually needs fixing, needs shaping, needs healing, needs strengthening. That's why I tell everybody, if you want anger management, go to the book of Proverbs. You read one chapter a day. This is just like going through a course of anger management. So much wisdom God will reveal to you that it's amazing. But sometimes we can't hear that if we've got so much going around us. That's why my message this morning carries the name White Noise. It's not fancy. It's not complicated. It's just honest, which usually is where God does His best work. And our scripture today comes from one simple verse. Psalms 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Short verse, big assignment, kind of like being next to a leaky faucet with whatever's trying to fix that thing, with whatever you got in your truck. Because most of us aren't suffering from the shortage of truth in our lives. We're suffering from a shortage of quietness long enough to hear it. We've got so much mental static around that God's voice just gets buried under everything else that we've allowed to let shout louder. And white noise really isn't blaming the world for being loud, because the world's always going to be what it is. It's loud. It's full of things. It's about learning how to turn the volume down just enough for God to get a word in edgewise. Because when He does, He doesn't just inform you, He transforms you from the inside out. And that's where the real repairs happen. You know, when I go to these adult living facilities and visit these precious seniors in memory care, you know, not all of them have suffered the ailments of dementia or Alzheimer's. There's a few there that still are able to hold some clarity in their life. And it's really interesting because they're so lovable. Because when you get older like that and aren't able to use your facilities like you are when you're younger, you tend to lose your filter. And when you lose your filter, the mask comes off. The real you comes out. And there's so many precious ones in there. Now, there's a few that'll spit at you. But most of them are so loving. And so it tells me, and I look at these people, and I see the legacy that they've had as they've grown older that stayed with them. Because when I do Bible studies there and sing songs, those old hymns, they're just singing their little hearts out. You know, this year, Stanford Medicine Report recently described a pilot who nearly missed a critical landing cue. We've seen a lot of that lately in the news about pilots and crashing their planes or emergency landing on their planes. But he almost missed his landing cue because his cockpit was lit up like a Christmas tree. Alerts chiming, screens flashing, systems talking over each other like they were all convinced they were the most important voice in the room. Now, investigators said that the problem wasn't the plane, but it was the sheer overload of digital chatter competing for that pilot's attention, proving that even the trained professionals can get buried under the noise when everybody starts yelling at once. And honestly, you don't need a pilot's license to know what that feels like. Most of us have a cockpit in our pockets. And we can get buried under that noise when everything starts yelling and beeping and dinging all at once. God's whispering to you. I would encourage you to listen to that today. You know, the first hindrance that we have in battling white noise is that white noise distracts us. Every day we're surrounded by voices telling us what to fear, what to buy, what to believe. Also, what we should be offended before by lunchtime. And it's like living inside a 24-hour infomercial inside your head with no remote. You ever do that at home? You're at home watching TV and those commercials just keep going off and you're looking for the remote to change the channel or to turn it off and you can't find the remote. It's just torture, especially to guys. And somewhere between breakfast and bedtime, we've heard enough opinions to fill several libraries, most of them delivered by people who don't even return their shopping carts. Those are the type of people. So the enemy, listen to this, the enemy doesn't always have to destroy your faith. Sometimes he just has to distract it. The same way a shiny object can just derail a grown man who swears he's focused on something. Because Satan knows distracted believers become eventually discouraged believers. And discouraged believers stop listening carefully to God's voice. It's not that God's volume has changed any, but our surroundings have. The world just keeps turning the dial up like it's trying to win a contest in us. And of course, the noise isn't always coming from the outside. Some of the loudest conversations you and I have happens between our ears, where we argue with ourselves like two tired coworkers who both skipped lunch. That voice between our ears. Second hindrance from white noise is white noise often comes with worry. Worry has an incredible imagination. It'll convince you that tomorrow is already ruined before the day even finishes stretching its legs. It creates conversations that never happen. It writes stories God never intended, like a screenwriter who's never met the main character. Take a woman who's in church. She's faithful. She prays every morning. She loves Jesus with her whole heart. But worry had her running around spiritual marathons that she never signed up for. Before she even finished her first cup of coffee, she'd already imagined her kids beginning to drift away from God. Her job falling apart, her future collapsing like a folding chair at a family reunion. And by mid-morning, she'd rehearsed the conversation with God where she apologized to Him for things she never even did. Begged for solution to problems that didn't exist and braced herself for disasters that even heaven itself wasn't even considering. She called it being prepared. God called it carrying stuff I never intended you to carry. Don't let today's worries steal. Don't let tomorrow's worries steal today's peace. That's what I tell my old folks when I see them. Don't let tomorrow's worries steal today's peace. She spent the whole day spiritually exhausted. Not because anything actually happened, but because worry had convinced her that she needed to be on high alert for emergency situations that are in her imagination. It was like she was running a full-time emergency response team for crises that never arrived. While her Bible sat open on the table waiting for her to remind her of the promises that she had forgotten to read. And here's the punchline. None of the things she feared even materialized. Not one. Her kids were fine. Her job was stable. Her future was still in God's hands. The same hands that weren't shaking, panicking, or writing worst-case scenarios in her life. One night, after a long day of white noise creating worry after worry, she finally sat down long enough to pray. Really pray. And in that stillness, she realized that God had been speaking to her all along. She had just been drowning Him out with her own commentary. And right in the middle of all of that noise in her life, God whispered Psalms 46 verse 10 back to her, "Be still and know that I am God." Not be busy, not be worried, not be prepared for emergency disasters, but be still. Turns out the problem wasn't her faith at all. It was the white noise. And when she finally turned down that noise, she discovered something she hadn't felt in a long time. What was that? Peace. That's why Paul says to the Philippian church, present your supplications and prayers along with thanksgiving to God. And He will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding and will guard your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. The kind of that doesn't need perfect circumstances to show up. It's amazing how our minds want to solve problems that don't even exist. Like we're running a full-time emergency response team for imaginary disasters. We rehearse catastrophes that never arrive and arguments that nobody even planned to have. All the while convincing ourselves we're being productive. That's like... That's like buying insurance for a meteor that missed Earth 3 million years ago. It keeps you busy, but it doesn't accomplish much, besides raising your blood pressure, maybe. And right there in the middle of that noise, God says to you and to me, be still, reminding us that His presence is stronger than our panic, and His promises speak far louder than any of our fears. So if noise creates confusion, then what does stillness create? What does being still create? Maybe, just maybe, it creates enough quiet for God to finally get a word into you and me without competing with the meteor insurance salesman who's living inside of your head and my head. And so the thing that we need to be aware of is to open our spirit to the stillness that creates clarity in our life. Psalms 46, it wasn't written during peaceful times at all. It showed up while nations were raging against each other and the earth was shaking, kind of environment where even the bravest folks start looking for an exit. And so God didn't promise silence all around them. He promised His presence with them, which frankly is better than silence anyway. Because stillness isn't the absence of problems. It's confidence in the presence of God despite the problems we have. Like standing in a calm room where everyone else is losing their minds. Have you ever done that? It's quite interesting, actually. They look at you like you're nuts. Like you're not even aware of anything. And all the whole time, you're just calm. Sometimes God calms the storm. And sometimes He calms His child. Either way, the peace wins and the storm doesn't get the last word. But stillness isn't just something you and I experience. It's something that we choose. Usually right after we realize our best ideas haven't fixed a single thing. It's the moment we stop trying to be the foreman of the universe and let God do the job that He never asked us to supervise in the first place. And so our solution is to choose stillness. Not hope God gives it to us. God, give me still in my life. It's there. You have to choose it. Our solution is to choose stillness. Every morning when you and I wake up, we decide who gets the first word in our lives. Is it the headlines or is it the Holy Spirit? And only one of them actually knows what it's talking about. Before checking notifications on your phone, check your Bible. Before reading everybody's opinion, listen to God's truth. You know, that's a real challenge. Because first thing when I do to get up to have my devotion, my first inclination is to check my phone to see if anything weird, crazy, or whatever happened overnight. But I have to turn it down, turn it off, turn my Bible app on, and go straight to my devotion, spend time with my Savior. And it's one thing to read your Bible devotion and call it done, day one. It's another thing to read your Bible devotion and say, okay, God, what do you got for me in this? Leviticus isn't the most exciting part of the Bible to read. What do you got in it for me? And sometimes he'll tell you something that don't even have to pertain to your Bible reading that day. He just wanted to get your attention, wanted to get in your presence with Him. So you have to make a choice. And trust me, it's hard to stay focused on God. But when you do, He will reveal things to you and He will instill that peace in you that chases that white noise away. It's amazing how much quieter the world gets when you start there. Before you ever start assuming the worst, remember who's still sitting on the throne. He hadn't stepped down. He hadn't taken a vacation or asked anyone else to fill in for Him. That's when white noise loses its power, is when God's voice in your life and in my life become a priority. His peace begins exactly where our striving finally calls it quits. Which brings us to maybe the greatest question of all. What happens when you and I finally become still? Because if the noise has been running the show, stillness is where God reminds us who actually owns the building. And finally, our result will be, when we discover that, our result will be we discover in our lives that God was never silent. You know, a lot of people say today, you know, God's not speaking. But more often than not, He's been speaking the whole time. We just had the volume turned up on everything else. And we weren't abandoned. We were surrounded by this white noise static. His word stayed true while everything else kept changing like a weather forecast nobody trusts. The shepherd still calls the sheep, and his sheep still know his voice. That part has never changed. And so even if the world keeps trying to drown him out with breaking news and bad advice, Psalms 46:10 isn't just an invitation for me and you to relax. It's an invitation for you and me to trust the kind that makes you stop, breathe, and remember who is exactly running the show. Be still and know that I am God. That's not a suggestion for a spa day. It's a reminder for the one who speaks in the quiet to tell you, I have not gone anywhere. I'm still here. And He's still worth listening to. Remember, the world's absolutely mastered the part of making noise. It cranks out fear, outrage, distraction. It's like running a factory with no off switch. But heaven still specializes in peace. The kind that you don't have to plug in or recharge or update. Long after today's headlines disappear into the digital junk drawer, God's promises will be standing, not wobbling, not shifting, and not waiting for a fact check. Long after today's worries fade, Jesus Christ will still be King. Because white noise eventually fizzles out, but the Word of God never does. You know, Elijah was one of those guys who looks rock solid on paper when we read about him in the Word. Calls down fire from heaven, outruns a chariot, stands toe to toe with hundreds of false prophets and doesn't flinch. But then life gets loud on him. And suddenly the spiritual giant is sprinting into the wilderness like a man who just remembered he left the stove on. That white noise got to him. Why white noise? Not the kind from a broken radio, the kind that comes from worry and fear and a mind that won't stop writing worst case scenarios in your head. And so Elijah starts imagining that tomorrow is ruined before the day even finishes. He creates conversations that never happen. He writes stories God never intended. He rehearses disasters that never arrived. And honestly, he becomes a foreman of a full-time emergency response team for emergencies that don't exist. And by the time he crawls into that cave, he's convinced he's all alone, all abandoned, and hanging by a thread. All of that, which is none of it, is true. But it felt true. Because the noise was loud. So God does something brilliant. He doesn't shout. He doesn't lecture. He doesn't crank up the volume. He waits. The wind comes in loud. The earthquake comes in louder. The fire comes in dramatic, but God's not in any part of it. And then a whisper. It wasn't because God was weak, but because God was close. Elijah didn't need any more volume. He needed less noise. And in that stillness, he finally hears what had been true the whole time. God hadn't disappeared. God hadn't taken the sabbatical. God hadn't gone silent. He was speaking. Elijah just needed the white noise to settle. Be still, and you'll discover he was speaking all along in your life. Not whispering because he was weak, but whispering because he's close to you and I. You don't holler at somebody when you're speaking, unless you're hard of hearing and have to speak loud. But he whispers to us. Jesus is only a whisper away. Because once the noise dies down, you realize he's been closer to you than you thought. And he says stuff to you and I that more than we can ever imagine. And so as the altar call team comes to the stage, or worship team, maybe your heart today has kind of been overwhelmed by this noise, this white noise, the kind that sneaks in and piles up and convinces you that God's peace got lost in the shuffle somewhere. Maybe you've let life static just drown out every voice that's been trying to steady you all along. But Jesus is inviting you today to lay down your burdens. Lay down your fear. Lay down your striving. Lay down that endless noise that's been running your life like a foreman who never clocks out. Come to the one who calms the storms. Come to the one who calms our hearts, because he hasn't forgotten how to do either one. Today's the day to be still before God. Not tomorrow, not when things finally settle down in your life, but right now, in the middle of whatever mess you are carrying. And he's waiting with you for open arms, not crossed ones, ready to quiet the noise that you've been carrying and to remind you who's been speaking to you all along. And so today, if you're longing for that kind of stillness in your life, kind that your soul hadn't felt in a long time, then this is your moment. We'll have our prayer counselors up here to pray with you, to anoint you, to love on you. So come on down, because you haven't failed. It's not because you've broken beyond repair, but not because you're tired of the static and ready for the silence, but you're ready for God to be in his presence, to be still. And if you're ready for his peace to replace the noise, his calm to replace the chaos, and his voice to rise above everything else, then today this altar is open. Take a step. Take a deep breath. Let that striving go. He's already there, and he's been waiting to meet you in that stillness.